So the opening question, think about that. Where is your heart today? Your heart. Where's your heart today? As I read from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, listen for and notice an echo in this reading from what Marlon read from Deuteronomy 6 a little bit ago, okay? So here's Mark chapter 12, starting at verse 28. One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked them, "Of all the commandments, which is the most important?" "The most important one," answered Jesus, "is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." "Well said, teacher," the man replied. "You are right in saying that God is one and there is no other but him. To love him with all your heart, with all your understanding, and with all your strength, and to love your neighbor as yourself is more important than all burnt offerings and sacrifices." When Jesus saw that he had answered wisely, he said to him, "You are not far from the kingdom of God." And from then on, no one dared ask him any more questions. You hear it in there? I mean, Jesus quotes directly from Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 4 and 5, in about loving the Lord your God with all your heart. And that's what we're going to focus on today, that first part. Loving God with all your heart. In fact, today, in the next two Sundays, I'm going to follow that, about loving God. I'm not sure exactly if it'll be mind or strength or whatever the next two will be, but then the third Sunday from now, we'll get to that loving your neighbor as yourself, the two greatest commands that Jesus talks about. By the way, Jesus quotes that, love your neighbor as yourself. That's from Leviticus 19, verse 18. Jesus quotes Deuteronomy and Leviticus there in his answer. The greatest commandment. So that first question again, now that you've heard God's word as well, where is your heart today? Where is your heart today? I want to go back to that original command, the context there in Deuteronomy chapter 6. It's easy to go right to the commandment saying, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. But do you know what the first step is? The most important thing, really, about loving God is this first step. And it's actually not in verse 5, but back in verse 4 of Deuteronomy 6. And it's the very first word of verse 4. And Jesus says, hear. That is H-E-A-R. Hear, O Israel. The Lord our God, the Lord is one. The first step in loving is listening with God. Listening to him. Hear. Hear this. The Hebrew word for hear is Shema. In fact, sometimes this passage is referred to as the Shema. Shema means to hear, and the Hebrew sense of hearing is not just, you know, sound waves bouncing off or against your eardrums. You know, I heard that. I heard that sound. This is hearing in the sense of listening, paying attention to, and heeding. We don't use this word heed, H-E-E-D, but that's a great word for this. It's to heed. You hear it and respond to it and take it to heart and obey. Hear this. That's what this sense is, and that's the first step. If you're not hearing God, you're not loving God. If you're not listening to him through his word, you're not loving. And that really ties in with people too, right? Listening to someone is loving them, truly listening, right? Pay attention to this. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, strength. This ties in with the first table of the law, and when I say law in this sense, it's going back to the Ten Commandments. And in Confirmation, we talk about the two tables of the law, the two tables of the Ten Commandments, and it's confusing right off when I say that because initially we, meaning myself included, picture the two tablets. You know, Moses did have two stone tablets upon which he received the Ten Commandments, but here we're talking category tables. So the first table of the law refers to our relationship back then, Israel's relationship with God. So it's the vertical. And the second table has all to do with their relationship with one another and with other people. So it's the horizontal. So the first commandments, if you remember here, right? The Ten Commandments, the first have to do with our relationship with God. First one is, the Lord says, you shall have no other gods before me, right? Connected to that, the next one is, you shall not create anything in an image of anything to worship. You shall worship no false images. And the next one is about his name. You shall not misuse the name of the Lord your God or take it in vain, right? And the next one doesn't refer to God as clearly, and yet it's about this still, and that is, remember the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. Separate, set apart as a day of rest, a day of not doing work, and a day of worship and reflection on God, praying to God, focusing on God. So this first command to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength, I should say, this greatest commandment summarizes all of that. If you are loving God with all your heart, you will have no other gods before him. You will not worship other images or things in this world. You will not misuse his name if you're loving him with all your heart. And you will remember the Sabbath, you know, this day set apart as holy for God. In Deuteronomy, this is in Deuteronomy chapter 6, but if we go back one chapter, Deuteronomy chapter 5, you'll recognize an echo there from Exodus, literally, because Deuteronomy chapter 5 gives us the Ten Commandments. In fact, the name of this book, Deuteronomy, it's in the Old Testament, so we think, well, it's Hebrew, but a lot of these Old Testament book names come from the Greek, and this is one of them. Deuteronomy is two Greek words put together. It literally means deutero, second, nomos, nomi, where we get that ending, law. Literally means the second law, not as in another law from the previous commandments, but a repetition of God's law. So in Exodus, you know, Moses leads the people of Israel out of Egypt. They get to Mount Sinai. He receives the Ten Commandments, and he gives the people the law from the Lord. Deuteronomy, it's a second giving of the same law. And also in Deuteronomy, we'll find the laws of God, but also commentary on them. Because we hear this, love the Lord your God with all your heart. It's like, how do we do that? What does that mean? We're going to cover just a part of that today. There's much more to it. But one of the commentaries in Deuteronomy chapter 10 is about this relationship idea with God. Again, I want to emphasize this. We hear commandment, we hear law, and we just kind of sometimes think of it as kind of this cold set of rules. Okay, this is what I do, this is what I don't do. As soon as we focus that way, we've lost the heart of the law, meaning it's all from God, and it's all about our relationship with and to God and with one another. It's about relationship, put it that way. God gives us these commands so that we would grow in our relationship with him as his people. So in Deuteronomy chapter 10, starting at verse 12, listen for that key word about loving the Lord with all your heart. It says, and now Israel, people of God, what does the Lord your God ask of you but to fear the Lord your God, fear him, to walk in obedience to him, to love him, to serve the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul, and to observe the Lord's commands and decrees that I'm giving you today for your own good. Did you hear that ending part? So these are all listed positively, by the way. A lot of the commands are you shall not, you know, don't do this. These are all do these things. Fear the Lord, walk in obedience to him, love him, serve him with all your heart, with all your soul, observe the Lord's commands and decrees. And at the end it says, for your own good. We think, oh, this is all to please God. And yes, God gives us this to please him. And yet, who benefits? Who's blessed through the observing and obedience to God? We are. We grow. We're blessed in our relationship with him as we follow his commands. Again, it's all about this relationship. Well, the next little, I call it commentary in Deuteronomy, this is about testing to see if we truly love the Lord with all our heart. This is Deuteronomy 13. It says, if a prophet or one who foretells by dreams appears among you and announces to you a sign or wonder, and if the sign or wonder spoken of takes place, and the prophet says, let us follow other gods. See, this happened, so now let us worship or follow these other gods, gods you have not known, and let us worship them. You must not listen to the words of that prophet or dreamer. The Lord your God is testing you to find out whether you love him with all your heart and with all your soul. When the heart goes astray to follow or worship other things, we failed that test. When someone else says, or in this case it says, if a prophet, even with signs and wonders, says, now follow me and let's worship this or this other god or whatever it might be, says it's a test from the Lord to see if you truly love him with all your heart. So to sum these two commentaries, who gains from loving the Lord with all their heart? We do. We do. Who loses when someone goes astray and doesn't love the Lord with all their heart? We do. We do. How do we keep from straying? The simplest answer, perhaps, is given in Psalm 119, verse 9. An older version says, how can a young man keep his way pure? A later version says, how can people stay on the right path with God? You know, how can we not go astray? And the answer given is by keeping, hiding God's word in your heart. Again, loving the Lord your God with all your heart means having his word, listening to him in your heart, right? Psalm 119, the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the entire Bible, 176 verses. And the entire psalm, composed by King David, inspired by the Holy Spirit, is really an ode or a love song to God's word. The entire psalm is about God's word and our loving God's word and having it in our heart. Other psalms also give us a lot of guidance for doing this, how to love the Lord with all your heart. And there's another one also written by David. He wrote about half the psalms. I'm going to start with the latter part of the verse. It says, and he, the Lord, will give you the desires of your heart. Start with that. Now, just think about that for a second. The Lord, and this is a promise from the Lord, he will give you the desires of your heart. Now, again, I say, where's your heart today? God knows. I don't know exactly. I have a sense of where mine is, unfortunately, sometimes. But where's your heart? And then what are all your desires? And think, the Lord promises to give you those. This is another test, right? And he will give you the desires of your heart. Now I'll go back to the first part of that same verse. This is Psalm 37, verse 4. The first part says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. So if you are delighting yourself in the Lord, what are the desires of your heart truly? Then they would be, go back to Deuteronomy chapter 10, right? Fear the Lord. Worship the Lord. My desire is to love the Lord. My desire is to serve him with all my heart. My desire is to obey his commands. My desire is to know his word. Is that where your heart is today? We need to hear this, right? Yeah. But delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Love that. You know, the newer translation is still the NIV, but it says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I like the older way better, because if you say, I take delight, it can still seem like maybe a part, you know? I take delight in that, but I also take delight in all this. But if you delight yourself in the Lord, I picture this, a swimming pool. You know, you go up to it and you want to see if the water's cold or warm or whatever, and you know, the old put your toe in. It's like, well, oh, it feels good. I take delight in the pool this way, but then I'm just going to go back and sit on the chair. But to delight yourself in is you get up on the diving board, you're bouncing a few times, and then you're up in the air, out of control, either a belly flop or maybe a cannonball. Tighten up, but you're all in. Boosh. I picture that as delighting yourself in. just, you know, you're immersed, delighting in God. It's not a little toe, okay, I kind of like it, but no, it's cannonball, all in, whole being. In the Old Testament, I mentioned King David. He wrote, I say about, but he, you know, half the Psalms, 150 Psalms, King David, I believe, wrote up 75 of them. So either half, right in there. There's a few that are unattributed. We don't know for sure, but possibly David. But King David is described, before he even became king, he's described as being a man after God's own heart, meaning he did seek to love and follow the Lord with all his heart. He was overall all in. Now, there's many other scriptures, again, we could look at. I'm going to focus briefly on two. When David was truly a man after God's own heart, first of all, when he focused on God's word. I mentioned Psalm 119. I'm going to return there. Here's the second verse in Psalm 119. Blessed are those who keep the Lord's statutes and seek him with all their heart. Right up front in Psalm 119, those who seek him with all their heart are blessed. And going to verses 47 and 48, also in Psalm 119. For I delight in your commands because I love them. I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees. Do you hear a love for God's word? This is the whole psalm over and over again. Delighting in with all your heart in God's word. The second look at David in the Psalms is actually after a time when he strayed. Yeah, he was a man after God's own heart, but he was also a sinner, and he sinned badly or greatly, however you want to say it, terribly. He was a great sinner, meaning he did some awful things, and for a while he was kind of caught up in that. But when he was finally confronted and convicted of his sin, it crushed him. It crushed David's heart. And he came with his whole heart back to God. It's called repentance. Again, this is what God watches for, waits for, and loves when people turn back and say, forgive me. I'm not going to read the whole psalm, but Psalm 51 is, I'd call this the song and psalm and prayer of repentance par excellence. I mean, Psalm 51. This is from David. It even says in the word here, a psalm of David when the prophet Nathan came to him after David had committed adultery with Bathsheba. And after that, he had committed murder. And after that, he had remained unrepentant for a time. But then he turned back to the Lord. He said, have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. Going to verse 10. Think about the heart, where David's heart was. He says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. He knew his whole heart had strayed completely. And now he says, create. This is a word, a verb that only God can do. Only God can create in this sense. And David's saying, I need a whole new heart. Be back with you, Lord. Create in me a pure, new, holy, clean heart. And in verse 17, referring again to his heart, he says, my sacrifice, O God, is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart. You, God, will not despise. All in repentance. I'm going to stick with that imagery as we go to the fifth point here. This cannonball idea again, right? If you're going off a diving board, up in the air, over the pool, there's no turning back, first of all. There's no choice, now I'm going to just dip my toe in. No, you're going to be all in. You're going to be all in. Jeremiah 29:13, the prophet Jeremiah, this is the Lord speaking. And the Lord says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. Again, you want to really get to know God and seek him, know who he is, what it means to love him and follow him. It's like, oh, I'll go up to God's word or, you know, just toe in a little bit. Maybe even just, you know, wade in up to here. It's like, it's got to be the cannonball. With all your heart, all in. It's an all-out, full-time endeavor to know, love, find Him. And the Lord promises, when you seek Me with all your heart, when you bounce up and all in, you will find Me. He promises. Jesus says, you know, He's the one, we started with Mark 12, this teacher of the law comes to Him, asks Him, what's the greatest commandment? Jesus says, the first and greatest commandment, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus teaches about that. What else does He teach about the heart? There's many more texts again than what we'll look at today. Just going to focus on two, and they both come from, we could say, the heart of the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' well-known sermon covers Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7. Right here in the middle of chapter 6, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says this. By the way, remember the first question I asked, where is your heart today? Listen. Jesus says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Jesus answers the question, where is your heart today? Well, where is your treasure today? Where is your passion? What is it you love? What is it you focus on? What is it you spend your time and money on? Your treasure. Jesus says, where your treasure is, that is where your heart is. It's as simple as that. What else does He teach about the heart? Just a few verses later, and it connects to that. Verse 24, Matthew 6, Jesus says, no one can serve two masters. Either you'll hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. He says, you cannot serve both God and money. Now, why does He just go right to money there? Well, treasure, money, that is where a lot of people's heart is. There is the power there, right? Is the problem actually in the dollar bills and coins, or now, you know, mostly digital data, that number? Is that the problem? The heart of the problem is always a matter of the heart. It's the love of money that's the root of all kinds of evil. But people do tend to give money power because they love and devote and serve it. And Jesus says you can't actually serve money and God. And you could fill in that other blank, you know, take money out, put all sorts of other things in. He says you actually can't do it. It's all in, right? To love the Lord your God is to serve Him with all your heart. And yes, He is to be our master. I mean, the word, the name Lord, that's what it means. Master with full authority to give commands to those beneath Him who are to serve Him and worship Him and follow Him and love Him. Right? Jesus says, and everyone does have a master. We want to think, if as soon as I do that, though, I think I'm on my own. Guess who's my master? I am. And that's pretty popular. I'd say just about everybody likes to be their own, right? And Jesus really says, too, you can't serve both yourself and God. Yeah. Is anyone else convicted at all by any of this today? I'm going like this because right here, my heart. Do we need help with this? One more thing. Jesus uses that word devote. You know, it's right in there. Let me see. You'll either be devoted to the one and despise the other, or love the one and hate. So love and devotion go together. And we use that word devotion as Christians to have your daily devotions. The word devote is this time, but hopefully it's not just, you know, 2 or 5 minutes that you're devoted to the Lord, because again, that's 2 minutes of a 24-hour day. And no matter what we're doing, working, playing, resting, reading, eating, you know, the other Scripture says, whatever you do, whether you eat or drink or whatever you do, do it all to the glory of God. All your heart is, no matter what you're doing, where you are doing it for God. Devoted. So it's good to have those daily devotions, by the way. Our daily bread time in the Word, prayer. But that's just to kind of get us for the rest of the day, help us focus. Huh. Again, do you need help with any of this? I did see nods earlier. I do. John Calvin, 500 years ago, a great theologian, one of, part of the Reformation. We all need help. Get help every week with it. So, John Calvin said, among many other things, but he said the human heart, thinking of the heart, the human heart is an idol factory. Not idol as in neutral, you know, not moving, but idol, I-D-O-L, meaning the human heart produces things that we follow and worship all the time. And even if it didn't, there's so many things in the world that we tend to follow and you know, devote ourselves to. But he said, even without that, within my own heart, there's things I'm creating, if you will, and following rather than God. The human heart. And this is John Calvin, who also, like Luther, was seeking to follow God. How quickly, how easily is your heart distracted from God? In that brief pause after my question to now, we've all already strayed. It's like, all my heart, Lord, I can't even go a nanosecond without going, oh, I mean, my whole heart. Oh. We need help. Help is on the way. Help is here today. Good news. The good news is just God helps you. God helps you. I pray for help each week with the sermon. You know, I was like, okay, I get to read God's word, study and prepare. And often throughout the time, I'm like, Lord, I need your help. And even for my own heart and my own focus on this, that this would be from you, for us, according to your word, you know, God. And before we worship on Sunday morning, again, worship isn't just Sunday morning right now, but worship is to be our lives. But I ask for help in worshiping. You know, we're to worship God in spirit and in truth. I'm like, I failed that. In spirit and with all my heart and in truth. And it's like, Lord, I need your Holy Spirit to help us worship you in spirit and in truth. Well, here's, God loves to help, by the way. And he loves when we ask for help and say, Lord, help. 1 John 4:19 says, we love because he first loved us. Sometimes it's easy, and even later, even though we know better, to hear a command from God like this, you know, love the Lord your God, and we immediately think, oh, how do I do this? And it's right on me. Who loves first? Who's the source of love? It's God. And we only love him in response and return and one another, and only love rightly only because he first loved us. It's all from God. Even our love for him isn't generated within here. It's really from him to begin with. Returning God, responding to God because of his love for me. How much does God love you? Read the whole Bible, whole New Testament. Here's one verse, Galatians 2:20. And I come back to this often. We know John 3:16, for God so loved the world, but that seems so diffuse and so big, right? God so loved the world that he gave his only son. It's true. It's awesome. It's the gospel. But there are times when we need, what about me? Yes, God, you love the world, but what about me? I need your love. And we sing the song, Jesus Loves Me. And it's like, is there a verse that talks like that? Yes. Galatians 2:20, this is the Apostle Paul. He says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And when Paul's writing this, inspired by this Holy Spirit, he's seeing the cross. He's seeing Jesus shed blood, crucified for him. And if you will, in that moment, not for the world, even though it is for the world. But you, my friend, we need to come to the cross, come to God and say, how much do you love me? We come to the cross and see Jesus on the cross. It's finished 2,000 years ago, but often we need to return and see the pain and suffering for me, my sin. And that's his love. This is how God demonstrated his love for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us, for you. Loves me. You know, we're going to go back to Deuteronomy. A lot of Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 6. Talks about loving God with all your heart. But listen to this. Yeah, Old Testament here. The Lord your God will circumcise your hearts and the hearts of your descendants so that you may love him with all your heart and with all your soul and live. Circumcise literally means cut away, remove. The Lord your God, who does this? Who gets the heart, all the heart, able to love God? Who actually does it? God. I don't, you don't, we can't. God does. He will circumcise your hearts, cut away all the sin, all the distraction, all the parts, all the stuff that is not loving him, so that you may love him with all your heart. That's Deuteronomy 30. So you hear that, so that, right? He's not just cutting it away so that you're just pure. It's back to the relationship. He's cutting the sin away so that you may love him. And his cutting that sin away, how did he do that? It's the cross through Jesus Christ. That's the removing of our sin from our hearts so that we may love him with all our heart and soul and live. You hear that? Hear, O people of God, his love for you. Closing question. First, what does God see when he looks at your heart? It's one thing for me to ask you, where's your heart? Yeah, we can self-reflect. What does God see? You know, 1 Samuel 16:7, the Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance. Person looks really good today. Looks nice. But the Lord looks, that person looks awful. Oh, they look miserable. But the Lord looks at the heart. That's 1 Samuel 16:7. And he looks at all the heart. Right? So what does God see when he looks at your heart? What does God want to see when he looks in you at your heart? Do you know what he wants to see? Himself. Meaning he wants to see your heart. He looks at your heart is already looking at him, seeking him, turning back to him, loving him, asking for forgiveness from him. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word, words, but all your word. And Lord, you love us so much that even though we are sinners, our sin keeps us apart from you because you are a holy God. But you love us so much that you sent Jesus for us to cut away the sin, to circumcise our hearts by going to the cross, paying for our sins completely, shedding his blood so that we could have new hearts created spiritually, hearts that we can love you with in Christ. And again, Lord, it's all your love. Apart from you, there is no love. You are love. We can't generate it on our own. We can only live in it and respond to it with your own love. We thank you for your love in Jesus Christ. Amen.